Praise God. Amen. Good morning again, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Well, I'm excited again to be here today and share a little deeper insight on our message on building the wall, accepting the Nehemiah Project. Let me echo what Brother James said in regards to just, you know, praying for Pastor Randy and all of the prayer requests we have today, and even the fact that the gentleman mentioned my mother-in-law, it just is near and dear to me. We all have each other, we all need each other, and we can't do it without each other. So unity is a strength that the enemy is afraid of. And the more that we in unity, the better we are towards tearing down his kingdom.
Amen.
All right. So I want to jump in and get started today and not waste much time. But I want to make sure that all of us this morning, gentlemen, understand what we're talking about when we talk about the project, Nehemiah Project. I want to make sure that we're not missing it. We're not taking it in and not processing it through the Holy Spirit. Because this is a challenge. This is a task. This is Holy Spirit inviting all of us to take on an assignment. Nehemiah is a model. He is an example. He is one that we can look at Old Testament to find biblical strategy to begin to now play out or play the role that God has already intended in history. Very important. God wants to invade our time in history, and he cannot and will not do it without us. All right. We mentioned the word salt and light. That is who we are, light and salt. But we can't sit in the corner and say, I'm the light. All right. Or we can't say I'm salt without putting a little flavor on something.
Yeah.
All right. Now, salt is only good as when you apply it. All right. You can't cook a steak and say, steak, be salty. All right. You got to take that seasoning and put it on that thing. You can't take the light and be effective unless you get in the darkness.
Yeah.
Okay. At least you're a light in the church amongst many lights when God is calling you to be a greater light amongst the lesser light.
Yeah.
Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm a greater light when I stand in darkness, and I've now magnified what God has in me. He's arise that your light may come. The glory of God may be revealed to the sons of God and the people of God in the earth. All right. So what I want to do is run through, because I think it's important that we have a solid foundation and an understanding of Nehemiah's assignment. I wish I would have told James, give me 3 weeks to unpack chapter 4, 5, and 6, because this thing is pregnant with preaching, teaching possibilities. And I'm excited about it. All right. And you may not feel it the way I feel it, but I feel it. I feel it in my bones because I am in my assigned place in the earth. And the goal is to help you guys get into your assigned place in the earth. Amen. Not your church membership, gentlemen. Not where you worship at, gentlemen.
Right.
Not where you give your tithes, gentlemen. That is a part of it, but it's not the major project that God has assigned to you and I. Yes. It's for kingdom building. It's for expanding and tearing down. It is the goal of every believer who say, I want to be more about relationship than I am about religion.
Come on.
Amen. Yeah.
One of the sick diseases in our culture is men and people are more excited about their religious practice than the work of God.
Yeah.
Let's jump in this thing, huh? Amen. Because y'all looking at me crazy already. Amen. Let me give you a quick recap. It won't take long, but I want to establish just a really good foundation of who Nehemiah is. I don't want to assume that everybody's on the same page. Everybody reads their Bible. Everybody has a relationship with their word. I want you to get this. This is a download. This is not Pastor DK's message. It is God's message,
Amen.
God's deployment, his deployment for you and I. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
I am being deputized. I am being commissioned to do something.
Yeah.
Amen.
More than just get to heaven. All right. Let me wrestle with that for a minute. The purpose is not to get to heaven. That's not. Heaven is not the ultimate goal of the believer.
Right.
The goal is to bring heaven down on earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heaven is the reward that we get for being faithful on the earth. But many people live very, very passively hoping for heaven when they can bring heaven.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go stand on that side because it's feel like I got more amens on that side. All right. Okay. All right. So Nehemiah, please catch this. History, cupbearer in the king's palace, kings of Persia. cupbearer. Why does the Bible tell us that? It's important to understand his secular position in the earth. What he done for a living, his occupation. This cupbearer was a high position. This cupbearer was kind of like the administrative assistant for the king. He was a shot caller in the king's palace. He was no ordinary guy. His job was not only taste the wine or eat the food before it poisoned the king, but the king trusts him. It's very important to understand that trust is important, because as you go on throughout his life, he needed that trust to move forward. Okay? All right? So it's important to say that we need God to trust us. Now, this trust thing is critical, because a lot of us think that we have to be perfect before God to trust us. How many know I wrestle with the fact that I am not perfect? Even driving to here today, I see the cars, I see all the men, my brothers. I don't want to disappoint you guys. I want to give you guys a good word. I'm excited. But in my spirit, in my soul, I'm like, I don't want to let you guys down. God, trust me with a word for your men. But he told me, hey, don't carry that burden. I didn't call you to be perfect. I call you to be willing.
Willing or obedient.
And when you're willing, God can do more with a yes than he can with an intention. I intend to be. That intention, a lot of great men in prison who said, a lot of poor people intend. High intention, no delivery. All walk, no talk.
Come on.
Right? All bark, no bite. Mm. Everybody got that? Ooh. Nehemiah walked what he talked, therefore he pleased the king. So when he, doing his normal job in the secular realm, got disrupted by a letter or news from his brothers in his hometown. On a normal day, his brothers showed up at him and they say, hey, Nehemiah, yeah, we got a problem. What's going on? 150 years. Let me rewind. There were three trips to Jerusalem. Ezra, the priest at the time, took trips back down to Jerusalem trying to rebuild the temple. Ezra was a priest who understood the Torah, the Pentateuch. He understood the Mosaic law, and he taught the people the law. The Bible used these three books, Nehemiah, Ezra, and Esther. Very important to understand, because when Nehemiah worked so well for the king, when he got the king blessing, the word says in chapter 2, the king's wife were pleased. It is noted possibly that he could have been talking to Esther, who married the king of Persia, who brought freedom to the people when she was gleaning the field. Okay, let me help you understand. The king showed up. He said, man, they got some women in the field. He seen Esther. He said, Esther, bad girl in the field. He married Esther, strange woman. She, at a period of time, people needed help. He found favor in his wife, caused her people to be saved because of her providence in the right place. See, you don't know what God gonna do in the place that you're in. Every now and then he'll send the king to find you where you are and do a great work from where you are.
Good.
Don't forsake where you are in life. You never know when the king gonna show up and find favor on you. Ooh, I can preach that. I'm gonna give myself an offering real quick. Hold on a second. I left my wallet in the car. That was just extra right there, right? This is cold-blooded. Now, here's Nehemiah receiving news. He's receiving news, Jason, and the walls were turned down. The city was in ruins. The people were scattered. 150 years of depression. What do we have today? A culture in decline. A society in decline. A people in ruins. Cities in ruins. That's no economical, social development. That's racial divide. That's tension. There's taunting from the enemy. We look at today's time and we understand what we up against. Gentlemen, it's important that we know that our conquest or our quest in the earth is to not ignore what we're dealing with. So God gave man a civic duty to make sure that he vote and influence things like elections. Gave man a spiritual duty. Make sure he don't forsake his eternal value and push that forward.
Amen.
Everybody got that? The word says lay aside, lay up treasure. Not LeBron James, gentlemen. But he says lay up treasures ahead of yourself. That in this world, moth and rust cannot eat. In other words, there's a civic duty while you're on earth. And then there's a spiritual duty. Nehemiah had the complex of all of that. I'm working for the king. Things are well. He got the news. The word says that his heart broke for his people. The question is, what are the things that will break in your heart? All right. If you can watch the news and you can hear things and you're numb to it, which means you have no feeling towards it. People dying, it don't bother you. All right. Culture in chaos, it don't bother you. Gay people everywhere, all around the LGBT rainbow everywhere. Got the wrong rainbow. It don't bother you. All right. Kind of be going the deficit. This is crazy deficit. Don't bother you. Education. It just don't bother me. We become numb to the problems of the world. Don't bother you. Why? As long as it don't happen to me, I'm fine. But God will not invade that space until you give God a yes. And all God needed was Nehemiah to make a decision, right? He hears the news. The first thing he do is he didn't get on the phone. He didn't complain or he didn't call his buddy and say, you heard what happened. The Bible says when he heard the dilemma, he got on his knees and he prayed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yes. The only way to fix any problem in the earth is through prayer first.
Yes.
It's very important. Many of us don't have a consistent prayer life. Well, how do you get a download from heaven if you ain't talking to God about a situation and a dilemma that's in the earth? Gentlemen, we have to pray. We have to talk to God. I know we macho man. Yeah, I gotta be. Help me out. A macho man, right? Nehemiah, although was in a high place, he went to a low place to talk to God, his knees, to get inspiration about a problem. His heart was broken. He cared so much when he showed up to work the next day. The king and the queen say, hey, what's wrong with you? Why are you sad? And he began to have a conversation in Nehemiah chapter 2 about what's going on with his people. And the king, because of Nehemiah's favor, hard work, faithfulness, asked Nehemiah, what are you requesting? You know, gentlemen, as we receive this project today, this download, I think it's very important to ask the Lord, in some instance, God, what do you want me to do? The Lord is ready to hear that. What are you questioning? What are you asking? The first king, because he talked to the big king, he got favor with God, got favor with man. He asked, what are you questioning? You know, when our prayer requests from God, Job, consist of, gimme, my name is Jimmy. God, would you just please bless my marriage? Would you please just bless my relationship? Could you hear my mother-in-law? Could you help my wife? Could you help me? Can you help me get the job? God, could you just give me money? Give me money. Could you give me in? Could you give me? God answers prayers that are bigger than one person requests.
Oh yeah.
Amen.
You will move the heart of God when you cry for a people that are broken, that are desolate, that are blind, that are naked. This is why he rebuked the priests in the New Testament. They built a religious establishment while forsaking the blind, the naked, the desolate. They built great Ephesus, but forsake God's kingdom strategy. What is your request? And he said, if you please the king, my city is in ruins. I have a problem in my culture, a problem with my people. And the Bible says that the king granted him a letter. We talked about that, and I want to make sure we understand this, because we walk out of here, we know more about Nehemiah than what we did since Sunday school and Catholic school eating them little cookies. Never mind, one person laughed at that. Amen, somebody. Thank you, Joe. Amen. Yeah. He made a decision. He had favor. He took that favor. He traveled on his journey. In his hand, he carried insurance, proof, backup that the God of heaven supported his call, his cause. Oh, this is so packed, Eddie. This is packed because when we understand, when we make a decision that is in alignment with God, he would align heaven resources to do a God thing in the earth.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I told you last week, I when I talk about Nehemiah, I see myself in the essence of what we're doing on Simcoe. The same area I sold crack cocaine, same area I was arrested in, same area I was stabbed in, the same area I ran the streets in, same area. Did not know when I was riding the bike, making dope plays on the corner of Simcoe, that I'd be owning a nightclub that's turned into a church. Did not know that. Did not know what my yes and my request to the Lord to save a people, that he would honor it with the king's resources. You don't know, gentlemen, that when you make the right request because your heart is in the right place, God blesses a vision that is bigger than your acts for yourself. When you start praying for everybody, when you start praying for everybody, he will empower you with wisdom to do that thing. Yes. Let me also pause and park and back that thing up for a minute. Whatever you do in your life, whether you are in sales, whether you are own a company, whatever you do, cut grass, whatever you do, whatever your spirit of influence, this is where God wants you to focus and penetrate on. Now, all right. Everybody kind of up to speed with that, right?
Yeah.
All right. So he travels. He gets to the place to where he has to expect the wall. But on the journey of going, he showed the letter. He got timber for the journey. All right. In other words, as you're going to that dare place with the Lord, fulfilling the purpose of God, he will supply you with the tools on the journey.
Amen.
You will not get what you need from God until you start going on the journey.
That's good.
Everything is wishful thinking. Everything is hopeful thinking. But at the time you say, I do, you get the king's privileges and the king's resources and the king's favor while you're on the journey. Can I tell you this morning, nothing gets done until you stand up and say, God, this is my request. This is my passion. This is my desire. Is it your desire? The Lord says yes. Then he will move heaven and earth to cause you to have providence, probably cause you to have resources, cause you to have favor to get the work done in the earth.
Yes.
We got to just ask the right questions. Pray the right prayers. Now, Bible says when he got to Nehemiah, when he got down to the city of Jerusalem, the first thing he did before he done anything is that he expected the wall. He counted the cost before he went to work.
Mm.
All right. So, gentlemen, and I mean this with all due respect. I mean it with all due respect. Some of you can't come in the hood and try to do what I do. We can't go in the hood. Amen. And on Christmas, sing, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Hold on a second. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. You sing that to Pookie, you have some problems. I understand what I'm saying. I don't.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot go where you go necessarily and be a certain way. That's not my sphere of influence. Mm. Watch Nehemiah's strategy, Joe. Okay? Y'all ready? This is good. If y'all tired of me, it's fine. Okay? I'll just come back in 2-3 months. It's fine. Okay? And so Nehemiah inspects the wall. He observes what he has. He sees the work before it needs to be done. When he seen the wall again, the word said he prayed again because it was worse than what he thought. Understanding that the situation that we are dealing with is worse than what we think. We're losing people because the Christian decides to stay quiet. The Christian decides to take God and put him in the box of their minds and their imagination and juxtapose their relationship with God. It's just me and Jesus. There's nowhere in history where the word says it should be just you and Jesus. But in this Western culture, we have adapted the concept, all I need is Jesus. It is true, all you need is Jesus.
That's right.
For salvation.
Yeah, that's
right. Yes. It is true. But to get a work done, you're going to need the community. That's why Jesus showed up and he got 12.
Yeah.
And the other 12 got 12 more, and he built disciples to carry out the mission. Okay? Now, Nehemiah, when he inspect the wall. He prayed again. Then he called together the people of that community. Now we get into kingdom strategy. Somebody say kingdom strategy.
Kingdom strategy.
I make the comment, and I don't mean no offense by somebody going to email James about the white Christmas thing. Okay, amen. Email James. Amen. He told me to say it. Okay, on record. I'm just doing what the king told me to do. Amen. And this strategy, kingdom strategy. The first thing Nehemiah did before he started to work in chapter 3 is he talked to the priests. Okay? Everybody got this?
Yep.
The first thing he did was talk to the priests. And when he talked to the priests got his brothers to start working on the wall. Very interesting. When he talked to the priests, you got to remember, Ezra, the priest, has been coming there, made two trips there, teaching the people the Torah. So they was getting the prophet before they got Nehemiah.
Oh.
So the people already was starting to get inspiration before Nehemiah went. Okay? Ezra was responsible for building the temple, restoring God's word in the hearts of people. Nehemiah came as the wall builder, the politician, the governor, the one who had influence in high places. Y'all better get this. I'm telling you, man, I'm gonna give myself another offering on that, right? The priest came, taught the word of the Lord. Nehemiah showed up. He talked to the priest. The priest looked at what he had. The first wall he built was called the Sheep Gate Wall. Think about that for a minute. This is pregnant, all right? The Sheep Gate Wall. Yeah, it's kind of interesting that wall was the Sheep Gate. Why couldn't it be the Blue Gate, all right? Or James Bond Gate, or some special gate, right? It was the Sheep Gate. And understanding so the thinking in that is, if we're going to get some things done in the earth, we need people with sheep-like behavior to do something that is impossible. What do goats and wolves and other people do? They think too much.
Yeah.
What does politicians do in America? They think and they talk too much. What do? They argue all the time. If they're not in charge, they burn the person down who's in charge. Okay? Right? Thinking. This sheep understood, if we're going to get this done, we're going to have to start with God first. Now, here we go in chapter 3. Encourage you to read it. Throughout that whole chapter, all you see is each person in that chapter building the wall right in front of them. Okay, Pastor, what's my assignment in the earth? My assignment is to find the problem that's in front of me and work on that first.
Yeah.
All right. I need you on Simcoe. I may not need you here or there, but there comes a time where we can come together collectively and do something
big.
Yeah. But then the most important assignment is the one right in front of you,
right?
Not the one that you're looking for or lusting for.
Come on.
Very important to understand, your spiritual gift is not my spiritual gift.
Amen.
But he wants your gift, right, to be alive in the area that you are in. What area is that, Pastor? I'm glad you didn't ask today. You guys are smart. The area that God has called you in. What do you do for a living? Where do you stay at? That's the wall you start working on.
Yeah.
Because right there in front of you is where the enemy is doing his work. What is the purpose, gentlemen? The purpose is to rebuild the wall. What is the wall? A torn down culture.
Yeah.
A broken society.
Yeah.
What is the wall? A people in poverty. A people in crime. A lower education. So Nehemiah, who now took a role of a politician, in many ways began to fight for the poor and fight for the oppressed. He understand that if I build the wall and don't build the people, I got a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I'm going to beg this side. Very important. If he showed up and built the wall without building the people are going to destroy the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you go through Nehemiah chapter 3, you find everybody got together and built each side of their gates. What am I working on, Pastor DK? I'm working on the wall right in front of me. Okay? Let that sink in for a minute. I'm working on the wall right in front of me. What's in front of us, gentlemen? Our family.
Yeah.
What's in front of us, family? Our neighbor.
Yeah.
What's in front of us, family? The problems that we can infect, that we can help.
Amen.
When a willing request from God to do a thing greater than just try to get what we can for God for ourselves.
Amen.
Okay? We ought to be fighting for our family, not with our family.
Amen.
Okay? Nehemiah left this place to fight for his family. Gentlemen, if you don't know this, you're in a fight every single day you wake up.
Yeah.
Paul says every day you and I are counted as sheep for the slaughter.
Right.
We are killed all day long.
Yes.
It is the enemy's job to make you think that you're not in a fight because you're doing well, because you got money in the bank. Or you got this and that together, all these temporal things that fade away. You are doing well when you are pleasing God. You are doing well when you're pleasing God. You are doing the God thing, not the I thing.
Yeah.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. So we got to wake up to this assignment of the Holy Spirit and start asking the right question. It's not what church do I join. It's the work that I do in the earth.
Yeah.
That makes God happy. Amen.
Yeah.
He's not going to ask you where you go to church at, who your preacher is. Well, I gave Pastor DK a high five. He going to tell you, get out your face. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
All right, let me go back because let me slow down. So now this is happening in verse 4. As the people started to work and build, the enemy showed up. The voices of discouragement showed up. Okay. There's these two adversaries called Sanballat and I believe Tobiah, I forget his name. And they showed up to discourage them. Gentlemen, have you ever said in yourself, I'm going to start serving God. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to start living right. I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to start doing the right thing. And here comes the voices of discouragement to show up and remind you of your past, remind you of who you was. What you going to do? They said, if you build a wall, if a fox run up on it, it's going to collapse. As to insult them to think what you're doing is a weak thing.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, gentlemen, one of the most greatest things we can do in the earth is fulfill God's plan, purpose, and mission.
Yes.
The world will call it weak, but God calls it strong.
Yes.
If you really want to be a man, humble yourself, deny yourself, pick up that cross and follow God. That is denying yourself and your pursuit of happiness to have a desire to bring heaven down on earth in your project, with your assignment, with your goal, while you being focused on what God called you to do. We have to now narrow the focus. The focus is too wide. Heaven is a wide focus. We need to narrow it down. Heaven is already secured. It's secured through Jesus Christ. Now we got to narrow the focus down so we can hit and shoot the right things.
Yes.
You're trying to hit everything. But that one thing you need to work on is right in front of you. What is it, Pastor? I'm fighting for my family against the onslaught of a spiritual enemy that I can't see.
That's right.
I got to deal with myself and the issues I have in my emotions and my pride and my egotistical and narcissism. I got to work on me and why I don't pray. I got to work on my attitude. I got to work on myself so I can be good to somebody else.
Hallelujah.
So Nehemiah in verse 4, verse 6, I got to go. I got to hurry. The people got together. They were convinced that now is the God thing. The Bible says that the people built the wall half the height because the people had a mind to work. Somebody say mind. I don't have time, but I'm going to try to do what I can. Can we go to 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
I'm just joking. All right. Somebody say mind. The people were convinced because their mind was in the right place. Who started working on their mind? Well, when the priest made two trips before Nehemiah got there, he put in them hope, word of God. The word of God put hope in them to believe again that the city can be better. The problem is we don't have much hope that our community or society can get better. It's been that way too long. for 300 years. As long as I can remember, back, my family has been in poverty. As long as I can remember, people dropped out of high school. Uncles and cousins went to jail, right? As long as I can remember, it's been this way. I grew up in a trailer where rats would run across the floor when we were sleeping. As long as I can remember, it's been that way. But that's the discouragement of saying it's going to always be this way. But the priest came and instilled hope with them. What's hope, Pastor? It's the word of God. It's inspiration. It's truth. It is a revelation about their situation so they can create what God wants in the earth realm.
Amen.
So when the worker came, Nehemiah, they were ready. They just needed a general to come in there and say, I got the resources. I got the favor with the king and the king. We're going to get this thing done. They were motivated and they worked in each perspective because they got their mind right.
Amen.
They understood what was at stake, gentlemen. Do you know what's at stake? I just got to get to heaven. I just got to get to heaven. I just got to get to heaven. I just got to, God, just bring me home, God. Come get me, God. Oh, God, I'm tired of this. Come get me, Lord. And we call to be warriors in the earth.
Yes.
We call to fight and advance God's kingdom. We call to do something great. Everybody else is normal, but we are not normal.
Amen.
We got a project. We got an assignment. We got favor. We got influence. We got a decision. We working right in front of us, and we're ready to take on the work and the battle. But the enemy comes up and begins to taunt them. And this is where I have to close because I'm out of time. But the Bible says they had a mind to work. They continue to work. When the enemy showed up, Nehemiah didn't stop what he was doing to answer the people who were hating against him. He kept working. It wasn't until they threatened his life, until he called a meeting and told his boys, okay, listen, here's what we're going to do. Them boys, they may be crazy. They're kind of crazy. I need you to have a shovel in one hand and a sword in the other. But whatever you do, don't come down from this wall. You keep on going.
Amen.
He told his guys, he said, while you working, the enemy taunt them. The enemy made a parade of people were threatening them while they were working. Ain't that something? We see that in that story, but how's the enemy threaten us in our lives?
Yeah.
Oh, you ain't got to go to that church. Oh, you ain't got to pray. You ain't got to give that money. Oh, you ain't got. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? I remember. I gotta get out of here. I'm tired of y'all. I remember. I was 19, 20 year old. I've been at that time been arrested 17 times. My uncle told me, he's dead today. He said, man. He said, nephew. I'll tell you this. You ain't gonna never change. He said, it's in you. You got my blood. He said, oh, you got my blood, man. Your uncle was a women slayer, in and out, prison. It's in you. It's just who we are. I remember my uncle told me that. And I look at his life. I said, man, you broke. You got several baby daddies, you baby mamas. He's never been married. You've been working in and out jobs. You got an old school Chevy that every time you drive, you they got to call OSHA because you leak all down the road. I love y'all, yeah, man. I'm telling you. I love y'all, man. I'm serious. I love y'all. I'm just being honest with y'all. Y'all my people. I mean, it's an oil leak. You got to figure out what's going on. It's like, well, what's happening? Anyway. Uncle said, you ain't going to change. You got my blood. And one day I was sitting down and a thought hit me. God, is this all you have for me? The sins of my ancestors, the sin of my bloodline, the sin of this is all? And he said, his dream died in his mind. And gentlemen, I tell you today that if you have a mind to serve the Lord, if you have a mind to work, if you have the mind to ask God for kingdom strategy, the enemy will remind you and tell you, you can't get that done. But I stopped by here to tell you, you can get it done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
while the enemy is threatening you, while people are reminding you of your past, while even your current situation don't look like God is in it, I'm here to tell you that God will do a great thing in your life if you accept this project. I want to be totally clear. This is not about a church, not about a religion. It's about a God who hears the cries of his people from the earth, waiting for his sons to take on this assignment and build the wall right in front of them. Social problems, societal problems, cultural problems, racial problems. We have division on every side. We have collective disunity. We have individual disunity. And nothing can get done until the people come together in unity, until you understand your assignment in the earth. I need you to get this. So if, when I leave here and I'm gone for a few weeks and you are not getting anything done, then it's telling me you've been entertained but not pregnant. And the day you walking out of here pregnant with something today, amen. When I come back, I want to see a belly, God dog it. You got this? I'm pregnant with God's desire, God's passion, God's vision to go beyond this moment and do something in the earth greater than what I can ever imagine, because I gave God a yes, I got his favor, and I'm now on the journey to build a wall that's torn down. Come on, stand on your feet. Amen. Hallelujah. This is so good, everybody. Appreciate you. Hey, mama. Thank you, Lord. Whew. So, Father, we thank you now. Every hand lifted up in this room. Holy Spirit, we can't do this unless the Holy Spirit gives us revelation in our hearts. God, we're able to do this because you put super in our natural. God, give these great brothers a download from heaven. These are not just words. It is the assignment that you have called us to do in the earth. God, let your sons of God in the earth accept their project to build the wall right in front of them. Fight for their family. Fight to build a kingdom. Tear down things that are causing divide and disunity in the earth. Be the best person that they can be. Let them accept that assignment, God. And God, walk out of here with a desire to be different and better. Holy Spirit, speak to each one of them. Give them dreams, inspirations. God, wake them up in the middle of the night, God. Give them clarity on what they are called to do. And God, we give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Ooh, I'm excited.